Ave Maria in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Welcome to Ave Maria in the Afternoon, examining the world through the lens of faith from the heart of the Church to help us navigate the culture. Here's Dr. Marcus Peter.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us on this hour of Ave Maria in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter. There are two cases before the Supreme Court, one considering Catholic Charities in Wisconsin, the other a Catholic charter school in Oklahoma. That should set a major precedent for religious liberty in the United States. We are joined by Andrea Picciotti-Bayer to talk about it. And then after that, we will be taking your calls. That's right. It's Studio Spotlight, and we invite your calls. We want to hear from you. I will be joined by Dr. Peter Kloponis, and we want to talk about pornography. Just recently, a few days ago, a friend brought to my attention the fact that new articles and pseudo-documentaries are being made about the advent of quote-unquote ethical pornography. Now, for some of you, this is no news, and you're probably already repulsed by the mention of it. But for those of you who don't know, quote-unquote ethical pornography is pornography that's made under the claim that everyone involved, from producers to the performers to essentially everyone involved from the beginning to the end and distribution of the production, everyone's a willing participant. And therefore, because there's so much consent involved, no one is being exploited. And therefore, this is a good thing. It's ethical and it should be validated. Now, that's how far we've come in terms of a society recognizing objective good and objective moral evil. There is an intrinsic disorder to the morality surrounding the question of pornography. And the reason why is because, not that no one listening already doesn't know this, but the reason why is because there is a dignity and sanctity to the sexual act that finds its truest flourishing within marriage. And that's why its theological name is the marital embrace, that it is reserved for the union of one man and one woman. And it becomes the sacramental covenantal reunion, if you will, the renewal of the vows that are made at the foot of the altar. Doing the act outside of the bond of covenantal marriage cheapens it and ruins lives. And so we're going to talk about how much and how powerful pornography can be in ruining the lives of those who consume it, but also for those who are affiliated with it. And that's why we invite your calls. All this after the headlines.
Thanks, Marcus. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Wednesday, May 21st. It's the Feast of St. Christopher Magellanus. Today's news is brought to you by the Ave Maria Family of Funds at AveMariaFunds.com. Pope Leo held the first general audience of his pontificate today. Speaking before tens of thousands of attendees, he appealed for an end to the hostilities in Gaza and for an entrance of humanitarian aid into the Gaza Strip. 1 month to the day since Francis's death, Pope Leo also recalled with gratitude the beloved Pope Francis. Two historic churches in central Massachusetts are being closed. The Roman Catholic Diocese of Worcester announcing that St. Mary's Church in Brookfield and St. John's the Baptist in East Brookfield will be closing on July 1st. St. Mary's Church was founded in 1875. The House is working long hours as the GOP tries to push through President Trump's budget priorities. Some conservatives feel the bill doesn't make enough cuts to spending, including Texas Congressman Chip Roy.
We want to save money. We want to save as much money as we can. But we want to do it the right way to deliver for hardworking Americans who are getting left behind by government here, Republican and Democrat, who keep spending money we don't have.
Since this afternoon, President Trump has been meeting with members of the House Freedom Caucus about the legislation. Delaware has become the latest state to legalize assisted suicide. Democratic Governor Matt Meyer signing the bill legalizing doctor-assisted suicide for certain terminally ill patients. The bill will take effect next year and will allow mentally capable adults who have been given 6 months or less to live the option to end their lives. The Justice Department is dismissing Biden-era investigations into the Louisville and Minnesota police departments. The DOJ saying the lawsuits were filed last minute by the Biden administration after President Trump was reelected. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey telling the media that the city will continue to reform the police department because accountability is an option. I'm Steve Clark, Ave Maria, Radio News.
Good afternoon, welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. There are two cases before the Supreme Court, one considering Catholic charities in Wisconsin and the other a Catholic charter school in Oklahoma, that could set a major precedent for religious liberty in the United States. We're joined by Andrea Picciotti-Bear, and before we go to Andrea, I also want to let you know that we will be taking your calls today, 877-573-7825. The topic on discussion with me and Dr. Peter Klaponis is pornography, and we invite stories, concerns, insights, and we'll be talking about the effect of this heinous evil on the American society and the world. Andrea Picciotti-Bear is legal analyst for EWTN News, director of the Conscience Project. You can follow her work at conscience-project.org. Andrea, always a joy to connect with you. How are you? Andrea, are you there?
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, I hear you now. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Marcus. I apologize. I'm not quite sure why we didn't have a good connection.
Oh, no, that's...
It's always a joy to join you and your listeners. Thanks for having me on.
Well, always a joy to connect with you. And these two cases you and I have talked about before, and now they're being brought before the Supreme Court. So in the interest of our listeners who don't remember them, let's review them one at a time. Let's talk about the Catholic Charities Wisconsin case first.
Marcus, this is really great. This is Catholic Charities Bureau of the Diocese of Superior, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
They've been operating for, you know, over a century and serving the needy in the community. And they applied recently for an exemption from the state-controlled unemployment insurance program,
mm-hmm.
Opting instead to join the statewide Catholic insurance program that's just way more efficient
mm-hmm.
at compensating people that have either been laid off or lost their jobs. And they were denied. And they were denied that exemption that exists for entities that are established for a quote-unquote religious purpose because the agency evaluating said, no, you know, what you're doing is done by all sorts of secular entities as well, and it doesn't have the hallmarks of religious exercise that we think are things like prayer, you know, only gathering with co-religionists. Because what you do as Catholics is serve anybody in need.
Yep.
You don't have a screener. They brought their court, their case all the way through the state courts, and the Wisconsin Supreme Court actually affirmed that finding. Now, things are always very different when you get to this Supreme Court
yep.
as far as understanding the meaning of words in laws. And it was pretty clear, having listened to oral argument, that a majority of the justices are really convinced that the Catholic Charities Bureau was founded and continues to exist as part of the Catholic ministry, you know, a corporal work of mercy.
Yep.
And they should be able to take advantage of this exemption, which is available, as I mentioned before, provided there is some sort of alternative. And again, being able to take advantage of it, it's much more efficient
mm-hmm.
and cost effective. So it's going to be an interesting way to basically prevent governments from interfering with the church's own understanding of what is a religious exercise.
Yep.
And that's consistent with what we've said all along in our conversations, Marcus, about the Constitution really does protect church autonomy
yep.
from interference by the government. So huge case. It doesn't sound that consequential, but it sure will be consequential for continuing to be kind of a coherent judicial interpretation of what laws mean.
And You and I had talked about this before, Andrea, but you just mentioned it earlier, so I want to invite you to just re-expand that thought, because I thought it was a really powerful one the last time we spoke, that this is such a willful mischaracterization of the enterprise of Catholic charitable work, as if we only confine it to those who practice Catholicism, and we only confine it within the auspices of liturgical practice, when in reality the invitation of Christ in the gospel is for all who come to us in need of this work of mercy.
Yeah, you know, Marcus, this is a really kind of a sinister attempt to narrow our understanding of religious freedom by limiting it to acts of worship, which even those were being attacked by overzealous government authorities during the pandemic.
Yeah.
But that attention or that effort to limit religious freedom protections to worship really misunderstands both Catholic exercise of faith, right, and that we serve those around us without any kind of membership requirement. But also it undermines the idea that all people of faith should be able to live their faith out in all aspects of their life. So that's not just for Catholics. I mean, we see our evangelical brothers and sisters going to court to defend their rights, for example, to run their businesses consistent with their faith, and issues related to sexual orientation and gender identity laws. So this is a key case, kind of continuing to reaffirm the importance of religious freedom. It's also really important that judges are looking at the language that the laws have in them. And that whatever rulings and interpretations of laws need to be actually consistent, kind of a textualist approach is what we call it, that they're consistent with what the lawmakers meant when they came up with the law, and not how we think it should be. If we think differently, then we should go to through the democratic process, not try to use the judicial process to get our way.
Yep. And that's why recourse to sound governmental structures, in this case legal structures, are so crucial, because one would think that on the surface, Catholic Charities Bureau's contention is valid, because it would appear that the state is infringing upon free exercise clause, at least for the average individual looking at the case, and that's why it's gone all the way up to the Supreme Court. But it's amazing, the state Supreme Court itself pronounced against CCB's contention.
No, I think it really will be an interesting thing. I think that I hate to always make predictions, but I do think it's going to be a resounding victory.
Mm-hmm.
But it does show that kind of that people have lost their religious formation and familiarity with religion. And so these kinds of decisions and exclusions really come from a place of deep ignorance, that they just don't understand how religion works in the lives of believers and in the functioning of different churches. So I think it's helpful that we've got a number of justices who are very much identify with their religious beliefs. But it's again, another reminder that we're living in a world that's become more and more secular every day. And as people of faith, we need to be a little bit more bold in talking about how important our faith is in our own lives.
And that segues into the St. Isidore of Seville case. We only have about a minute, but it's the same, free exercise clause violation. So just briefly tell us about that.
Yeah, this is a charter school in Oklahoma. It's run by the two Catholic dioceses in Oklahoma City and I'm trying to remember the other name of the town. And basically it was to offer a Catholic education, virtual Catholic education to students as part of the charter school program. The Oklahoma Attorney General actually objected, saying that this would be an Establishment Clause violation. It's pretty clear, again, a majority of the justices during oral argument see that a charter school is a private entity. Mm-hmm. Even though they're receiving the benefit of taxpayer funding, it's a private entity that individual parents choose to bring their money to support, and that in interfering and not allowing St. Isidore's to benefit from the charter school certification would actually discriminate on the basis of religion. So that would be a violation of the free exercise clause. So it shows how these two clauses of the First Amendment work hand in hand for religious freedom in America.
Yeah. Well, Andrea, always a joy to connect with you. Thank you so much for making the time.
Thanks, Marcus. Have a great one.
You too. My guest, Andrea Picciotti-Bear, legal analyst for EWTN News. We've been talking about these two cases that are coming up before the Supreme Court, Catholic Charities Bureau in Wisconsin, and this Catholic Charter School, St. Isidore of Seville in Oklahoma. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter. We're taking your calls.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. Some days ago, a friend of mine brought to my attention this new fascination, if you will, with this concern of propagating what's called ethical pornography. Now, pornography by any other name is still exactly what it is, but the claim is that in ethical pornography, no one is being exploited. Regardless, this is still going to be tremendously detrimental to the consumer, but also the people involved in its production. Because let's talk about, as a parent, for example, even with their parents' best efforts to ensure a safe internet experience, most American children are exposed to pornography by their early teens, if not earlier. It's a battle that thousands of men and women of all ages wage every day, and we want to hear your questions, your stories, your insights, and even stories of victory. I'm talking today with Dr. Peter Kliponis of Integrity Restored, and I invite you to call in and join the conversation. That number is 877-573-7825, and I also want to put this right off the bat. If you call in, we'll be happy to make your name anonymous. You don't even have to mention where you're from. And it's really the sharing of the insight that's most important, the sharing of the concern or even question and insight that's most important. Peter is the author of several books on sexual purity, including Revealed, Exposing the Truth About Pornography, and Integrity Restored, Helping Catholic Families Win the Battle Against Pornography, and director of Integrity Counseling Services. Peter, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Thank you. It's great to be here. I'm great today.
I'm very grateful that you made the time, and I'm grateful you made the time out of your day to talk about this important topic. And this is something that is near and dear to your heart to speak about. And so maybe that's a good place to begin, that as men, as husbands, as fathers, this is a battle that we need to actively wage more than men in past history.
That's true. You know, especially with all the new technology out there, there are so many ways to access pornography, and you know, you talked about ethical pornography. I think that's an oxymoron.
Amen.
You know, there's nothing ethical about, you know, using someone for your own personal selfish sexual pleasure.
Yeah.
And right, that's what it boils down to.
And that's where we have to begin. Because that language involved in pornography, I've had even young teenagers come up to me and go, but you're completely discounting the reality of freedom of will and consent. They chose to do this, and so I choose to... Well, the language here, the language of the body, as John Paul II would call it, is still the language of use and of utility rather than love and self-gift, which is what we're made for.
That's true, you know, and when we look at most of the people involved in the pornography industry, these are very deeply wounded people. You know, I always tell people, I don't know of any healthy young woman who would ever say she wants to go up to be a porn star.
Mm.
All right, you know, this is not a healthy thing to do, to exploit oneself. So, you know, even if it's still exploitation, even if a young woman or young man chooses to go into that field, they are choosing to exploit themselves, which is still wrong. It doesn't matter who's doing the exploiting. Exploitation is always wrong.
Yeah. And that's why when we talk about that exploitation being wrong, the advent of the digital age and therefore the proliferation of access to smartphones has made it so that, like you highlight in your book, obscenity laws that used to safeguard children from encountering this stuff, they're virtually obsolete. Children from a young age are encountering these very real wrongs, very real moral evils.
Mm-hmm. It is. And what the internet has done, it has taken, you know, some of the most deviant forms of sexuality, the most unhealthy, dangerous forms, and normalized them. And this is very scary, very, very scary.
Yeah, and again, we're taking your calls, 877-573-7825. I'm talking with Dr. Peter Klaponis, who is of Integrity Restored, and we're talking about his book, Revealed, Exposing the Truth About Pornography. So, Peter, I think I want to paint with broad strokes here and invite you to talk about, from a grand perspective, if you will, the damage that we are seeing now as a result of this terrible sociological experiment of enabling pornography in culture, society, marriage, children, all of that. Just painting with broad strokes, just open the conversation there.
Mm. Well, you know, what this has happened is it has really cheapened relationships.
Mm.
You know, it has warped people's sense of what sexuality is all about, what healthy sexuality is all about, what love is all about. You know, instead of being this wonderful celebration of love between a man and wife that can lead to free, to new life, to a baby,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's all about, you know, how can I please myself? How can I pleasure myself in the most intense way possible?
Mm-hmm.
And if that means using other people, well, then that's okay. So, you know, it's led people to really turn in on themselves and become
right.
very selfish, very narcissistic when it comes to sexuality. And as I said, that warps the whole meaning of sex.
I want to invite you to expand that, because that's a very powerful statement, and you're completely right, to talk about how this overt consumption of sexual pleasure, divorced from the responsibility and selflessness of marriage and the family, turns a culture, an entire culture, narcissistic.
Well, again, you know, it's all about me.
Right.
You know, it's all about personal pleasure. And we see the effect that this has had on our culture. In fact, there were actually two studies that were done
mm-hmm.
with college men who regularly view pornography. And in both studies, what they found is that these men don't want to get married.
Mm.
They don't.
Yeah, that's right.
They truly believe that happiness will come from having multiple sexual partners, you know, not by committing to one person for life, but to having multiple sexual partners. And we know this is wrong, and we know that this is a total lie, and that they're headed for a total disaster with this. You know, they're just going to end up very lonely. But, you know, and what this has also fueled is what's called the sexual utilitarian philosophy. And that is simply the idea that it is okay to use other people for your own sexual pleasure.
Right.
Right. That's what this has ended up in. This is what it has evolved to. So it's just people using one another, and that's not going to lead to any kind of true happiness at all.
Yeah.
You know, we know that true happiness comes from giving, not from simply taking from people.
Yep. And in fact, we've seen how an attitude of constant taking has made us more consumerist and therefore more miserable. You would think that by taking so much we'd be satisfied, but it actually leaves us empty.
Exactly, yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
877-573-7825. We invite your insights, your questions, stories, concerns, if you want to share them, and also stories of victory over addictions, for example. The topic on discussion is pornography and how it affects the human person, marriage, the family, society, the culture. 877-573-7825. And you can call in as anonymous. We welcome your insights more than anything. So we're looking forward to hearing from you. So, Peter, what's surprising is the church has been saying this for as long as the advent of pornography and even for as long as a theology of marriage and sexuality has existed. You would think that the culture would heed the warnings of the church, but instead, a secularist society went its own way, sexual revolution and all that, and we're only now seeing the sociological and psychological results that are proving what the church has always said. So just shed some light on that for us.
Well, again, you know, what we're learning now through all these sociological and psychological studies is that the sexual revolution did not liberate anybody.
Yeah.
It was not liberating. What the sexual revolution did was that it created a culture that could exploit and use women even more.
Right.
Even more. You know, it didn't liberate anybody. You know, it really took away all protection that women had so that men no longer have to really respect women. Men no longer are obligated to protect women.
Right.
Women are out there simply for men's sexual pleasure, and they're going to use them.
And that's exactly what we've been seeing. I'm talking with Dr. Peter Klaponis, author of several books. The one that we're talking about today is Revealed, Exposing the Truth About Pornography. And we invite your questions, your insights. For those of you who are calling in right now, we'll take your calls on the other side of the break. 877-573-7825. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter. We have a Pope. I'm Dr. Marcus Peter, and on behalf of Ave Maria Radio, I want to echo our sentiments of rejoicing in the benevolence of our Lord in continuing to grant us a Holy Father to shepherd the bark of Peter. Upon this rock, Christ built his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Let us give thanks to our Lord and also pray for Robert Cardinal Prevost, who is now Pope Leo XIV, the 267th successor to the Holy Chair of Peter. God's hand remains upon his covenant family on earth. Deo gratias.
St. Therese once told her sister Celine that when we trust ourselves and not God, our soul becomes barren and incapable of virtue. Her remedy? External works of charity. We all try to do it on our own sometimes without asking for God's help. At St. Paul Evangelization, we suggest sharing the gospel with someone who needs it. Check out streetevangelization.com to find a team near you where you can share the love of Jesus. If there isn't one in your area yet, perhaps God is calling you to start a team in your city. To learn more, visit streetevangelization.com.
Transform your yard with Rutherford Gardens, where faith meets nature. Serving Washtenaw County, they specialize in residential landscaping, stonework, and ornamental plant design. From patios to peaceful garden sanctuaries, they craft outdoor spaces that reflect the beauty of God's creation. Call 734-476-7600 or visit RutherfordGardens.com. Rutherford Gardens, faith and beauty taking root.
This week on Christ is the Answer, Father John talks about how to strengthen our relationships. The fact that people today are so distant from one another is not a mundane detail we can just ignore. With so many tools that were supposed to bring us together, it has only aided in driving us apart from one another and fueled the desire for the disposable. Join us this week as Father John talks about the importance of friendship and how to strengthen all of our relationships. Tune in for Christ is the Answer, Monday through Fridays at 11 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, "I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible." The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Spring into mowing season with a new Cub Cadet lawn tractor from Weingarts. We've been helping families like yours choose the right power equipment since 1945. Cub Cadet XT Enduro Series tractors are engineered to offer the best combination of quality, value, and performance. Cub Cadet lawn and garden tractors offer comfort and year-round versatility. Stop by our stores to help find your next Cub Cadet or visit us online at Weingarts.com. From our family to yours, thank you for letting us serve you.
Weingarts, Weingarts, everything.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. I am speaking with Dr. Peter Klaponis, author of several books on sexual purity. The book we're talking about today is called Revealed, Exposing the Truth About Pornography. And that's what we're talking about today, pornography, how it has impacted and does continue to impact families, lives, marriages, and the culture and the global culture at large. So, Peter, we've got a bunch of calls that have come in. So we're going to take them, and I invite your insight into the questions that will be presented. We're going to David calling from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. David, what's your question or insight? What would you like to share?
Yeah, good to speak with both of you. So I'll lay it down. I'm a clinical psychotherapist and a college professor. So it's been my experience that when I counsel people and I let them know that porn is a social control mechanism, it's like a light bulb goes on and they get it.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
So in my view, this is an assault on individuals, families, and marriages. And I think it's similar to what they did with the COVID thing, where we couldn't go to church, but we could go to a bar.
Well, thank you very much for that insight, David. That was David calling from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And Peter, I invite your insight on that particular concern David brought up about porn being a social control mechanism. I remember a study I read in 2014 that I'd like to add on, but your insights first.
Well, I see that, you know, because in many ways, you know, pornography, it's an indoctrination.
Right.
Into, like I said, that sexual utilitarian philosophy, the idea that it is okay to use other people, you know. There's this idea that you know, it's the ultimate freedom to be able to do whatever you want to do, regardless of how it affects other people.
Right.
All right. You know, and that is what pornography is promoting. You know, there's this no sense of, you know, how are my actions affecting another person? How are my actions affecting society as a whole? You know, how are they affecting my relationships, my children, anything? There's none of that there. It's just do whatever you want to do, and it is a lie. It is a true lie.
Yeah. And so I recall reading this study in, it was a 2014 study. I encountered it a few years ago. It was in JAMA Psychiatry, and it was about how the study was proving that those who regularly consumed pornography demonstrated decreased gray matter development in the right part of the brain, and also decreased activity between what's called the striatum and that part. It's called the prefrontal cortex, and that's the decision-making impulse control faction of the brain. And so what the study was effectively proving was regular consumption of pornography inhibited an individual from developing sound virtues of impulse control from a biological perspective, neurobiological perspective. But also, it inhibits just basic decision-making capacities because the brain's, the neural pathways wiring was so inhibited and affected by regular pornography consumption. So, for those of you listening, Peter's right. This is a development at the level of philosophy, your mindset, your paradigm, your theology, but also your neurobiological development. Mm-hmm. We are going to... Oh, yeah, go ahead, Peter, if you have an insight.
Exactly. I mean, basically, to put it in a nutshell, you know, it increases the brain's demand for more.
Right.
And it decreases the ability to stop and say, no, I don't want to do this. This is no good for me. That's basically it. So, yeah, you know, the pleasure control center of the brain is hyperstimulated.
Yep.
The impulse control center, the part that says stop, is disconnected.
Yep. And so, effectively, one thing that winds up happening is you become less, quote-unquote, human because your rational faculties are impaired. We're going to Nathaniel calling from Chattanooga, Tennessee. And Nathaniel has a question, and Peter, greatly welcome your answer here. Nathaniel, what's your question? Nathaniel in Chattanooga, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I hear you now. Nathaniel, thank you so much for calling. How are you?
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show. And so, first of all, I think it's incredible you guys are even talking about this because it's such a taboo subject, and it's just very important to be talking about it and to get some attention on it because it really is an epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
I had an addiction to porn for over 20 years and was trying to figure out, you know, how do you get through this? How do you get renew your mind and such? And at my church in Chattanooga, there was the pastor brought in a series. I'm trying to remember the name, Conquer series, and we went through that, and really helped me a lot. But what I was wanting to ask you, that's where my freedom came from. I went through the whole Conquer series with another group of guys. I think it's important to get in with other people and to go through this together, to not isolate and do it yourself, but to get in with another group of men who are also struggling as well. I just wonder, what are some of your tools or your process to help men get free? Like, what should they do to find freedom?
That's such a powerful question. Thank you for the call, Nathaniel. Peter?
Well, you know, when a person is struggling with any addiction, they need to have a comprehensive recovery program.
Yep.
And that's going to include several things. You know, first of all, support and accountability are very needed. They are so needed. You know, there are no lone rangers in recovery. You need to surround yourself with other people that understand the struggle, who are going to support you and keep you accountable.
Yeah.
You do the same for them, all right? Here's where 12-step groups come in. Here's where making sure all of your use of technology is being monitored. Here's where it's important to have accountability partners.
Yes.
All of this is very important, you know. And then counseling is also very important because ultimately, with any addiction, the behavior is merely the symptom. All right, that's what it all is. The question is, what is the root cause? What is driving it? All right, and 90% of the time, that has nothing to do with the substance. For example, you know, pornography use is not about sex.
Mm.
It's not. It's about escape.
Right.
That's what it is. It's escape. The question is, what are you escaping from? That is the big thing. So, you know, and you need to identify what that is and resolve it, because if you don't do that, any sobriety you have is just white knuckling it.
Yeah.
Right? So you got to get to the root of it. So you need the counseling. You need a strong spiritual plan with this. You know, and you talk to anybody who's ever been successful in recovery, and they'll tell you they couldn't do it without God. They couldn't, you know. Just read the 12 steps. Read the Serenity Prayer. God is needed as part of this. You know, so, you know, we call this the three pillars here. You need counseling, you need support and accountability, and you need a strong spiritual plan.
Amen.
So when you put together this comprehensive recovery program, that's where you can experience success in recovery. And I always tell people, you know, where do they start? I say find a good counselor that's trained to treat addictions, and they can help you put together a good program.
I want to second all of that. And if you're looking for some practical resources that can aid in terms of the intellectual formation on that journey, some immediate things come to mind, such as Covenant Eyes, Integrity Restored, which is the apostolate that published Peter's book. Also, Reclaim Sexual Health. They do this great science integrated with theology of the body type of intersection for combating pornography. There's a ministry called Road to Purity, and they set up these satellite accountability groups. And there's this free documentary that's out there. It's called it's three words. I'm trying to recall it now. I think it's like Brain, Heart, and World. That's what it's called, Brain, Heart, and World. And you can just Google it, and you'll be able to get access to it. So these are some intellectual reading resources, if you will. But like Peter said, having those three pillars are crucial for this journey in victory, because without it, again, like he said, it becomes a question of willpower. And for those who don't have those resources, find a way in which you can get one or two of those three pillars. We are talking with Dr. Peter Kleponis, who is the author of Revealed, Exposing the Truth About Pornography. Thank you so much for all of you who've called. We will get to your calls on the other side of the break. We'll talk about pornography in general and how it's impacted the culture. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
My dad, sharp as a tack, but getting him out for a dentist trip got harder every year. When he moved to the senior residence where he lives now, Dr. Mansour's portable dental service was a godsend. Dr. Mansour comes to wherever the homebound patient may be, whether in a nursing facility or the comfort of home. All the services you'd expect in a dentist office brought straight to the patient's door. Call 586-873-5567. That's 586-873-5567 or portabledentalservices.com.
I'm Jack Grisula. Please join us Tuesday, May 27th, 6:30 p.m. at St. John's Resort for the Rosary, followed by a speech by Father Tom McCarthy entitled, The Saint of the Impossible. Father McCarthy is an Augustinian father and a longtime friend of Pope Leo XIV. No registration is required. For more information, please email jack.crisula, K-R-A-S-U-L-A, at trustinus.com. Thank you. God bless.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria,
as a new pope has ascended the chair of St. Peter, our Lord ascends into heaven. We will look at these two ascensions from the perspective of Eastern Christian spirituality.
Now on Ave Maria Radio's newest FM stations, 105.5 FM in Southfield and 107.9 FM in Ann Arbor.
Like the saints, do our loved ones who have gone before us still participate in the living tradition of prayer? The Catholic Catechism says they participate by the witness of their lives, the transmission of their writings, and their actual prayer right now. Witnesses in heaven contemplate God, praise Him, and constantly care for those they have left on earth. When saints enter into the joy of their master, they are put in charge of many things. The Catechism asserts that the saints' intercession is their most exalted service to God's plan. Thus, we should be asking them to intercede for us and for the entire world. Sometimes personal charisms of witnesses to God's love for mankind are passed on as the spirit of Elijah was passed on to Elisha and John the Baptist in order that their followers may have a share in their spirit. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them, so you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria, Florida, a big kind of small town, where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at avemaria.com. That's avemaria.com.
Good afternoon, welcome back. I'm Marcus Beat. I'm talking with Dr. Peter Klaponis, author of Revealed, Exposing the Truth About Pornography. And we're taking your calls, 877-573-7825. We have a few open lines. We should be able to get to at least one more call after the calls that we have right now. So 877-573-7825. Peter, before we take the next call, which is a really important call, I want to just very quickly talk about this issue that someone called in and they didn't want to be on the air. It was a question of using pornography to quote-unquote spice up your marriage. And on the surface, you would think, why would anyone even consider such a thing? But just very quickly address how this is a rising issue and it's more tremendously harmful to the good of the marriage than people might think.
Well, this is it, you know, and I tell couples that I work with, you know, great sex starts outside the bedroom. You know, if you're looking to spice up your marriage, you know, it's not going to happen in the bedroom. It's going to happen outside in the relationship with your spouse, you know. You know, do you have, you know, really good intimate conversations, you know? Do you feel really connected with one another? Do you feel like you're a team? You know, there's so much, you know. And I tell you, there are a lot of married people that are very lonely. There really is no emotional intimacy in the marriage. You know, they're, you know, it's just, you know, surviving day to day. So really, there never is any really good use of pornography in a marriage. If you want to spice things up, work on the emotional relationship within the marriage, that emotional intimacy. That's where you're going to find the spice.
I love that insight, and I want to add to it a small theological insight. Matthew 5:28 is very explicit. Jesus says, if you've looked at a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery with her. And so really the rhetorical question here is, why would we want to introduce any form of adultery into a marriage? It's a surefire way to cause its failure. We want to go to Sonia calling in Walla Walla, listening in Walla Walla, Washington. And Sonia, you have a question you'd like to present to Peter and I. What is that question?
Yes, hi. Could you give parents some good ways to teach their children and dissuade them from consuming or participating in pornography?
Okay, well, you know, one of the things parents have to be aware of when talking to their children about this issue, again, it's not about sex. Mm. Pornography, you know, it's avoiding pornography. It's not about sex. It's about an addictive substance. This is like drugs and alcohol. And parents really need to teach their kids that, yeah, this stuff is very addictive and it can take over your life. You know, now young children, we have to protect them from all this. Mm-hmm. We have to protect them from everything. And I tell parents, you know, even if you have the best filters on your internet, you never leave a child alone with the internet. If they're online, you're standing right next to them watching everything they're doing. Now for teens, again, it's about educating them. Educating them on what pornography is and how dangerous it is, right? Now, like I said, it's not about sex, it's about an addictive substance. However, we still need to teach our teenagers about healthy sexuality, healthy intimacy, healthy relationships. Mm-hmm. We still need to teach them about that, because if we don't teach them that,
Where are they going to learn it from? The internet. And they're going to get it from pornography, and they're going to get all the wrong messages. So parents, we have, you know, three things. Number one, protect the little children. Number two, educate the teens on the dangers of pornography. And number three, educate our teenagers on healthy intimacy, healthy relationships, healthy sexuality. That's what's going to protect our kids.
Yeah. And again, that number is 877-573-7825. We have time to take maybe about one or two more calls before the end of the segment. We're talking about pornography. We invite your questions, your insights, or even your stories about Victory and how you've navigated this question. And to Sonia's question, I also want to add for all of us listeners. Now, I'll be the first to admit my children are very young, and so this hasn't become an issue that needs to be broached as yet. However, in 2023, there was this survey done by Common Sense Media that stated that here in the U.S., the average age of pornography exposure and or consumption at the earliest is about 12, with about 15% of the people studied being younger than 10. Now, whatever that does to how you discern this issue, what it should convey to all of us is that we're at a point where it's not a question of whether or not our children will accidentally be exposed to pornography. It's more a question of when. And so prudence on the part of parents to willingly dialogue the gift of human sexuality and to introduce that, as Peter said, from a young age with sound prudence, with sound judgment, revealing to children what is proportionate to them at the right age is so crucial, because these are effectively uncharted waters. So, Peter, I invite your insight in to add on to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right. You know, children are being exposed at younger and younger ages. And so we have to be aware of this. And again, it's not if they'll be exposed. The question is when. Because it will find them. And we have to prepare them for that. And like I said, you know, we need to do everything we can to protect the young ones. But, you know, once they get into the middle school, we really have to educate them. You know, and really be able to teach them to come to parents when they encounter it. So that, you know, that we don't want them to be afraid. And parents often ask me, you know, well, what do I do when my child comes to me, or let's say I discover them viewing pornography, what do I do? And my advice to parents is the first thing you do is you apologize. You apologize, because it's your job to protect these children from it. And if they encounter it, we want them to know that it's not their fault.
Right.
Even if it's out of curiosity, still, you're the parent. You say, I'm sorry I didn't protect you from this. Let's talk about this. Let's, you know, I want you to understand what this really is about, you know, and I want to protect you from seeing this again. And that can actually end up being a great opportunity to really talk to your kids about this and educate them on this.
Yeah. Al Cresta, my predecessor and mentor, he shared with Brian Shanley about how, as a father, he would just simply take his children aside one at a time and in private, just very honestly, very straight up, ask them how they were handling their struggle with purity and chastity. And so as a father, he was effectively breaking down the walls and showing that this is something he wanted to do, to be there for his children. And I think to that end, I want to speak as a father and as a young man who understands what it's like to not have a father figure growing up. There's such a crucial role that men can play, both in terms of modeling, but also calling out virtue and demonstrating, providing guidance for chastity, both for sons and daughters, that can aid them in developing the virtues necessary to navigate these torrential waters of sexual purity in the modern world.
Oh, definitely, definitely. You know, I think men have to play a crucial role in this. Men have to take the lead, because, you know, even though both men and women are viewing pornography today, you know, traditionally, this is a vice that men engaged in, and men have to stand up and say, no, this is wrong, you know, and I don't want my kids to get into this like I may have gotten into it, so I want to protect them. And, of course, you know, God does call men to be leaders, providers, and protectors. That's an excellent way to protect your children.
Yeah. Peter, I want to pivot the conversation a little bit from the pragmatic. We've talked about steps, we've talked about the effects. One thing I do want to highlight, a priest once shared with me and a few other people, that he wasn't sharing what he heard in the confessional, but effectively what he was saying is the secret sins of the father tend to become the secret sins of the children. And sometimes the bride. And what he meant by that is there's a real pernicious spiritual reality behind this that we cannot take for granted. I want to invite you to comment on that.
Well, it's true. You know, we do see, you know, these sins being passed down through the generations. You know, they often do. And what we often find is that, you know, when we look at families where there's addiction, the addiction gets passed down through the generations.
Mm.
And, you know, people often wonder, well, why does that happen? Well, I mean, yes, there can be a genetic component to it, but you also have to think of, you know, the message. You know, when you grow up in a home where there's addiction, whether it's pornography, alcohol, drugs, whatever, all right, you have to ask yourself, what is the message that's being passed down from generation to generation? Through osmosis, it's an unspoken message that gets passed down. That message is, when times are tough, you self-medicate. That's what the message is.
Right, so let's
say you have a child who grows up in an alcoholic home, and he sees the chaos that brings into the family, and he makes the vow that he will never touch a drop of alcohol. And he doesn't. But then he becomes addicted to pornography. Right? Why? It's because of that message that's been ingrained in him throughout his entire childhood and adolescence.
Right.
So, and again, this is how these sins, I think, get passed down through the generations. And we have to be aware of that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's all parents, you know, with your kids, they may act like they're not listening. But believe me, in the back of their minds, they're taking copious notes.
Right.
And we have to be aware, and it's not just what we say, but it's what we do that they're observing.
Yep. And that's precisely why virtue isn't just what we do in front of others. It's the character. It's who we are, and inside and outside the house, inside and outside the room. And so to that end, we're rounding off the segment right now, and I just want to say thank you so much, Peter, for joining us. I understand for all of you listeners that this is a challenging topic, but one that is necessary to talk about, and we will address this in the future as well. Peter, thank you for making the time.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been wonderful.
My guest has been Peter Klaponis. He is the author of Revealed, Exposing the Truth About Pornography. And you can go to the apostolate that published this book, Integrity Restored, and there are numerous other resources that will aid in the battle. And make no mistake about it, this is a battle, but one that Christ has already won. So let us rejoice in his victory and be victorious ourselves. Thank you for joining us. I'm Marcus Peter.